Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now Ian walks out to a standing ovation in his tuxedo, carrying the envelope with the red ribbon around it. And he says, really, no, sit down, really, no, sit down. And the ovation continues, and the producers are getting nervous because the show is running long, but yet the crowd refuses to sit down. How you doing, Ian?
You make me sound like royalty when, in fact, I am just the court jester entertaining you through your appetites in this grand pageant of life. I'm doing great, Tommy.
You put the jam in jambalaya, my friend.
The and gumbo?
Yes, exactly. The ya and yakame.
Right on. The oi and po' boy?
I had an idea for a restaurant as I was going to sleep last night. And it concerned pho.
Okay.
But maybe it was a combination of soul food infusion with pho, and it was pho sure.
Oh.
What do you think?
I think that's got legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pho is soul food for Vietnamese folks.
And so there you go.
I've adopted it, and I've seen people crossover with American barbecue and Vietnamese food. I've seen we've got Banh Mi Boys in Metairie in Uptown that does a kind of a po' boy and a Banh Mi flex. Maybe the world's ready for some oxtail pho or some collard greens in your rice noodles.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right there. But I like it, Tommy. Maybe you're the guy to carry this into the world.
No, I'm
maybe
just the big picture guy. I'm just the idea guy. That's all I am. I'm just the big picture guy. I hand these. Yeah, and matter of fact, I had an idea the other day for a turkey lantern. And maybe somebody's already done this, but it's a pumpkin that's decorated like a turkey, so you put it out early October and keep it through Thanksgiving. What do you think?
I like it. Yeah. You know, my idea for Halloween this year is getting the pumpkin, going to carve it, and going to stick a box of wine in there. You know, the handy bag dispenser from your friendly neighborhood grocery store boxed wine commodity. Just one of those novelty wine things. Put it up there.
You know, a quick Google search shows me that I'm not the first guy to think a turkey lantern. But let's move on. Let me talk about this new thing that posted an hour ago. It looks like 30 best New Orleans restaurant. Is that where you want to start? Or you want to start with where you've been eating and drinking?
Big project there, Tommy. I've been working on that for a while. You know, I see these out-of-town outlets come and do, here's where you must eat in New Orleans, or they'll ask a celebrity, you know, hey, what are your favorite spots in New Orleans? Or, you know, maybe a star chef. Hey, they'll probably even know what are your favorite places, and they'll give you a couple of recommendations. But I thought, you know, we're the locals. We need to own that, you know? People ask me all the time, what are your favorite restaurants? It's time to put the cards on the table.
Because you know what? I think, Ian, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we have so many choices that our minds become not cluttered, but it's hard to remember all the good places, and that's what I think you captured here.
Yeah, precisely. And so the challenge, and Tommy, I've been working on this for a while, right? Mm-hmm. I've been whittling away at it. I've been revisiting restaurants, checking out new places. I mean, this is what I do.
Don't make it sound as though you're carrying people out of a fire or anything like that. I mean, you're going to eat at some of the nicer places in the city, so.
It's all part of my ministry, Tommy. It's all part of my
ministry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But to put it together in a concise form that can actually be helpful for people and that they actually, you know, have a chance of reading in our distracted lives, you know, that is a significant challenge. The way that I addressed it was I asked myself two questions. Was this a restaurant that I would cross town to eat, meaning it's not just the place around the corner that I go to because it's Monday and I don't want to drive more than 2 miles? And I've got plenty of those in my quiver. But would I cross town to eat there? And would I, you know, be anticipating it the whole way? And if someone was from out of town and I wanted to show them, like, why we get so fired up about restaurants in New Orleans, not just particularly New Orleans food, but a lot of New Orleans food, but restaurants in around New Orleans, would I take that person to this place? And that was kind of the first criteria for making this list. And from there, I needed to divide it up into different price ranges, different categories, different types of restaurants. So when you go in there, and it's on NOLA.com now, you'll see, it starts off at the very top, like bucket list, epic dining experiences. Maybe you save up and do this once a year. But look, even people who can afford to drop $200 on dinner every night of the week, and I hear there are people like that out there. I've heard stories about them. They also want to go to the joints. They want to go to the neighborhood spots that have just this different kind of character and soul and spirit. And so I've got those down at the other end of the spectrum too. And I must say, this is largely focused on New Orleans. There's a couple of restaurants that are outside of the city, but with so many visitors coming into town between Taylor Swift, the Super Bowl, the busy convention time, I really wanted this to be here. This is New Orleans. I want you to find places around you where you're staying, where you're visiting, that really capture the spirit of New Orleans. And I'll say one more thing. It is a very New Orleans-centric list. I have a whole category on global flavors, different restaurants that are representing things from modern Honduran food to Mexican to sort of pan-global, pan-Asian. But the focus is really on what we have here in New Orleans because nobody else has it. It is ours. It is our cuisine. It is our culture. So there's different sections that I call only in New Orleans. Upscale, only in New Orleans, casual. And to me, that's sort of the heart of particularly what people ask me for when they're really looking to connect with what makes the city's dining scene great. And so I gave a lot of emphasis to that. So
I know you're not supposed to print stuff, but I would suggest people do, in fact, print this and then staple it together and keep it in a drawer somewhere in the kitchen, maybe, so when you're thinking about where to eat, you flip this out as a reference piece.
Or you can pick up Wednesday's newspaper, where it will run in print, and heck, we'll even bring it to your door.
Even better.
Wild thing that they have this giant press, and they run off thousands of copies of it, and they fill it with other things called news, and then they actually deliver it to your house.
So it's already printed. It's already printed, and it's delivered to your home.
Yeah, and if you have a dog, a retriever, he can scamper down the steps and get it and bring it to you, and he's a good dog and all that kind of stuff. I think it's the wave of the future myself.
Or maybe even walk out, in your robe, scratching yourself and get it while school bus passes like that.
I was talking to my local blacksmith about it, and we both agreed that this is probably the wave of the future.
I think it is. I think, Ian, you might be onto something here. And what are you calling it, a newspaper?
A newspaper. Yeah, that's right.
Interesting. All right. What I wanted to ask you about looking at this story? Restaurants that, and I'll ask the audience this at 504-260-1870. The Oakland Jeweler Talk and Text Line is always open for Ian McNulty. If you have any questions or suggestions about eating or drinking. But I would ask the audience here of restaurants, iconic New Orleans restaurants, that they've lived here all their lives, like me, but have never been to. And one of them that jumps up to the top of the list for me is Brennan's. I've never been to Brennan's.
I'm glad you brought that up. I will say this. If you've been to Brennan's, but it hasn't been in the last 10 years, it's a very different restaurant in a great way. So Brennan's restaurant, it's been around in one form or another since the 40s. This was the restaurant that started everything for the Brennan's family with all these different branches. There's a lot of restaurants around New Orleans that are under the general Brennan umbrella, Brennan family umbrella, but they're not all the same company. It's different branches of the family. They started their own restaurant groups in many cases and have gone from there. So, the Commander's Palace branch of the Brennan family is different from Dickie Brennan's company, although they're related. Dickie Brennan came up through Commander's Palace. His father was one of the owners. And when it came to, he started his own company, and those restaurants, Palace Cafe, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse, etc., are different, as are Brennan's restaurant now, run by Ralph Brennan, a different branch of the Brennan family. Mr. B's is different. So, we call it the Brennan Family Restaurants, but it's not like it's one giant company. But it is one big New Orleans family, that's for sure. But Brennan's, yes, been around since the 1940s. It launched everything. It was the place back in the day, in the 50s and the 60s, where celebrities would come to dine, you know, literary heroes. I mean, it was the place. And, you know, time went on, and about 10 years ago, it was in bankruptcy, and it was closed, and it was padlocked, and it was game over. But then new investors took it over, and one of those investors included, one of those investor teams included Ralph Brennan, a different side of the Brennan family, who had a lot of big, strong family connection to it. And so he came in, took it over, and didn't just reopen it. With his initial investor, they poured a lot of money into this. I mean, if love can be measured by money, they really, really love this restaurant. They basically brought it back, but on modern terms. They took what had been a grand, but let's face it, faded New Orleans institution, and brought it back to life, but also brought it back to modern times. And it reminds me, I mean, the way I compare it now is it's that we talk about the grand dames, you know, the grand dames of Creole dining. It's Antoine's, it's Arnaud's, it's Galatoire's. Those, you know, they're very much in that traditional mold that is, you know, that's what they do, they're time capsules. Brennan's has that feel, but the cuisine is much more modern. It's like your favorite aunt who keeps up with the times, dresses stylish, is the cool one, the one who's zipping around in a convertible Miata. You know, that's what Brennan's is now. It's very modern cuisine in this grand setting. And Tommy, they don't build restaurants like that anymore. They just don't build restaurants with that kind of history imbued in them, and the courtyard, and the giant wine list, and a place where that tableside service and preparations and the flaming bananas Foster that was invented there anyway, where all of that was created. They don't build restaurants like that anymore. So we're lucky that Ralph Brennan and his crew came on and basically resurrected this one and brought it back to modern times. So when you go, and I encourage you to go, this is one of those restaurants in the category of sort of bucket list epic dining, because you can really do it up. You know, you go with a group, you get a corner booth, you look around, you start with some cocktails, you take some time with the wine list, maybe you ask to walk around and see some of the private rooms upstairs if they're not in use at the time. These are the types of restaurants where it is dinner and a show. You're not grabbing a bite and going out to the theater. This is the night, you know.
Let's take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. 504-260-1870 in McNulty, talking, eating, and drinking as we do every Friday at this time. I got a question for you when we come back about a restaurant. Speaking of building restaurants, I was watching the genesis of this or the production of it as I went home from work every day down Magazine Street. It's the Boulevard. I think they're going to do pretty well with what they got in mind. We'll talk about that when we come back and answer your questions as well. When we return, Tommy Tucker talking to Ian McNulty, who works for the Times.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Picayune, which is a newspaper. Also in the New Orleans Advocate. We'll be back in a flash, WWL. 9:27 now, Friday morning. That's when we talk to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times. Speaking of Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Ian, as I drove home every day on Magazine Street, I watched him do the work on this restaurant, the Boulevard is the name of it, right? Tell me about that and
yeah,
they could do something a little bit different here, and I think it's going to work out for them. Talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, what a transformation. So this, we're talking about Magazine Street in the Warehouse District, the 800 block. This is right across the street from Pesh, which, by the way, is one of the restaurants in my top 30 guide on NOLA.com right now that you should check out. But the Boulevard got its started life in Metairie. This is a restaurant from the Creole Cuisine Concepts Group, the local operation that has about two dozen restaurants when Houston's in Metairie closed, a lot of people know Houston's. It's a chain. It's a national chain. It's very popular. It has the kind of following that chains usually don't get in New Orleans. Still has the one on St. Charles Avenue. I know a lot of chefs who go there. It's sort of like their downtime spot. It's a fun angle. But the one in Metairie was very popular, and it closed some years back. I want to say about 2015 or so. A lot of people were surprised because it seemed to be doing really good business and, you know, filled a nice niche in Metairie. Well, these local guys saw that it was available and thought, well, okay, if you don't want it, we'll take it. And they bought the building, and they brought it back as something called Boulevard American Bistro. It's on Vets, pretty close to Clearview. And it is a lot like Houston's. It has very similar menu approach, some similar dishes. A big bar that, you know, Metairie is kind of rarity, you know, dine at the bar kind of situation, happy hour vibe, and it's gone gangbusters. And so they started expanding it. They opened one in Harahan, they opened one in Covington, and the latest one just opened, well, it opens today, in fact, in the warehouse district, in a building that was previously a food hall. It was called Auction House Market, because back in the day it had been like an auction gallery. And it's an old Victorian brick building. And if you'd gone in there in the food hall days, it was all set up with all these different stalls and stands with a central bar. Well, all that's different now. You walk in and it looks like these Boulevard American Bistros that you've seen from the Verbs. But right in the middle of it, that big bar, still the centerpiece. And it is, unvarnished, all American food, right? It's not trying to be a Creole restaurant. It's not trying to be, doesn't have global culinary aspirations. It is something for everyone. Prime rib, French dip, burger, seared tuna salad, crab cake kind of place. And it's smack dab on the route that people will be taking walking between their hotels and the World War II Museum. You walk in, there's a giant American flag painted on the wall. There's booths everywhere. There's that big bar. There's a daily happy hour. And right up front, there's a little market where you can get bottles of wine or a grab-and-go salad or pick up your takeout if you're going back to your hotel or your condo or what have you. It's the kind of restaurant that you can see has a broad appeal. It definitely works in the suburbs where they've been expanding, and they plan to grow even more, they tell me. It's an interesting play to take that model, pretty much whole kit and caboodle, and put it in the warehouse district in a different kind of market. But it opens today, and we'll see. I think the location is pretty promising for that type of restaurant. It's very different from, you know, if downtown is Donald Link restaurants, Herb Saint, Pesh, it's Emeralds is around the corner, there's Sophia, Gianna. These are the kinds of restaurants that are around there. This is much more of a, hey, you're all American restaurant. If it hits that niche, it's probably in the right location for it.
Did they speak as to lunch and how important that would be? I'm just thinking about people that work in the area.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's open daily, 11 to 10, I believe, are the hours. I'd expect that bar to be booming for Saints home games, mm-hmm. which, you know, go Saints the Sunday against the Bucks. It's always interesting when something like that opens in an area where the people have kind of established patterns of where they go. But this one does seem custom cut for that business lunch where maybe the focus is on, hey, we want a nice, big, comfortable table. We want a menu with something for everybody. And I got to say, another big restaurant with a big bar that's doing a daily happy hour, that's always a welcome addition. And I will note that this restaurant is approximately a block and change away from my newsroom. So I know a lot of my my colleagues, when deadline has passed, probably looking for a half price drink, that might be one on the list for them too.
How would you describe that kind of restaurant? I know you said bistro because I look at spinach dip and burgers and things like that. And I'm not trying to look down my nose on it or anything. First of all, this is not boil in a bag food, they actually cook it, right?
Yeah, well, they say bistro. I would not say bistro. Bistro to me is Café Degas on one end of things, and on the very, very high end of things is Mamou, just an extraordinary restaurant on Rampart Street in the French Quarter that is also on my list on NOLA.com.
So how would you describe it? What would you say?
So no, they call it Boulevard American Bistro. I call it, you know, all American restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could literally put this concept anywhere, anywhere where people want, you know, prime rib and baby back ribs and entree salads and that sort of thing. So yeah, bistro, yeah, I guess it fits with the alliteration of the name, but this is not your French onion soup and steak frites kind of place.
Well, a lot of people are interested. It's called Boulevard, and it's on Magazine Street across from Pesh. I don't know what the cross street is, but I pass it every day. Somebody texted
Julia.
Julia, that's it. Somebody texted in and said, hotel food sometimes gets a bad rep in other cities, but can you name some hotels in New Orleans or the New Orleans area that have great food?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's a different story if it's – that depends on the hotel, of course, and it depends on the partnership. And, you know, there was a while there where restaurants are partnering up with chefs and restaurant groups to open those up. I tell you, there's one that's newly back on my radar. It's called King Brasserie. It's in the Hotel Fontenot. I was at an event last night. The chef was there, and he did this amazing steak tartare, and it reminded me that, yeah, I'm overdue. I need to get back in there. But that's a new one. That's on Chapultepec Street downtown. That's much more of French bistro food, by the way. King Brasserie. Well, we'll call it a brasserie, wouldn't we? Bistro. And right down the block, Tommy, another great example is Compère Le Pen. You don't think of it as a hotel restaurant. This is Nina Compton's first restaurant. But it is in the lobby of the hotel, and it's you know, it's a great restaurant. It's doing a flex between you know, the chef's Caribbean roots and her fine dining training. I mean, you can look at Luke. That's in a hotel in the CBD. Dominica, the Italian restaurant, great for pizza, amazing happy hour. That's in the lobby of the Roosevelt Hotel. So yeah, just because the restaurant's in a hotel does not make it necessarily a hotel restaurant. But if you're staying in that hotel, that's pretty nice. You know, you've got that right there in the lobby.
Somebody texted in and wanted to know about outside dining now that the weather's getting nice. We've had this conversation before, but just a refresher.
Oh, we can have it endlessly. I mean, this is the window. Tip of my tongue right now is Rosedale. This is also a restaurant on my list on NOLA.com that you should check out. This is in the only in New Orleans casual category. This is the kind of the love letter of Susan Spicer, just the renowned chef. I don't know anybody with more respect that's been earned than Susan Spicer in this business. And she's kind of pouring her heart and soul into this really neighborhood style restaurant in the Navarre neighborhood on Rosedale Street. And if that doesn't strike you as familiar, it is kind of hidden. It's between Mid-City and Lakeview over by the cemeteries there. And it has a great back courtyard that really, it feels like you've made a little excursion into the country. But, you know, there are countless options. I mean, Cafe Degas I mentioned earlier, they have a lot of outdoor tables, but really the whole dining room is basically a patio. Mm-hmm. And when they roll up the front flaps of that patio in the nice weather, it feels like you're dining on a deck that is part of the landscape and verdure of Esplanade Avenue around there. You know, you're in the oaks and the palm trees and the palmettos, and it's a lovely scene. You know, one of the rarer things is finding outdoor dining in you know, the suburbs, the North Shore, but you know, Station 6 in Bucktown is basically an outdoor restaurant with a kitchen in the middle of it, a bar, and a small dining room. That place is terrific. Over on the North Shore, Pat's Rest a While is always top of mind. I mean, it's not just on the lakefront in Mandeville. It feels like you're on the lake. It's you know, this raised up deck that makes it you know, more resistant to rising to storms over there. It also positions you where you're sort of a treetop level overlooking the water, and you catch that breeze, and it's lovely. And Chef Pat's food is always good.
Somebody else wanted to know about Clancy's in the future after, I guess the story was in NOLA.com, as a matter of fact. You wrote it about the owner of Clancy's. Talk about
this was last Friday after you and I had spoken, actually very shortly after you and I had spoken. for this weekly interview, I learned very sadly of the passing of Brad Hollingsworth. He was the longtime owner of Clancy's. He wasn't the founder, I learned. It was Clancy's. It was an uptown gem, by the way. It's on my list of only in New Orleans upscale. Just one of my very favorite restaurants. It is a true neighborhood gem in the upscale category. And it opened in, I want to say, 1983 by a group of businessmen. Brad was there from the start. He had gotten his start. Well, he grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, and he came to New Orleans for Mardi Gras and never left. I mean, it's that kind of a story, right? And here's a transplant who really took root. He worked at La Rousse. He worked at the Caribbean Room. Both those places no longer here, but epic names in New Orleans dining. He worked at Galatoire's. And he took all that training to Clancy's, where he started out working for these guys. And then a couple years later, 1987, he ends up becoming the proprietor. He bought it and has run it through a lot of hard times, oil busts, Katrina, BP, all of that stuff, and really established it as, I think, just a key part of the New Orleans dining scene. Well, sadly, he died a week ago today. I'm happy to report that the restaurant is in good hands. His stepson, Brian Larson, and his wife, Mary, have been running the restaurant for a while now, especially as Brad's health was fading. Their children are part of it. They have long-term employees that have been there forever, the chef, the bartender. The continuity is there. And even the day that Brad passed, they said, you know what Brad would have wanted us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Open up and take care of our people. Yeah, so they are business as usual over there, but they are.
Real quick, I want to get this in before we go, because somebody texted in. I want to get this in. They want to go to Galatoire's. They've always wanted to go, but they feel as though it's cliquish, and they're afraid they're not going to fit in. Thoughts?
If you love New Orleans, you're going to fit in just fine. Just, you know, ask the waiters what to do. Tell them it's your first time and you want to do it up, and they're going to take care of you.
You may not be a member of the family, but you will be when you leave.
Sounds right.
Thank you, Ian McNulty. A pleasure as always, my friend. Google Ian McNulty to find out more. We'll come back. We'll get you some weekend winners with JR from Taking Vegas. 940, 20 till 10. Traffic now, WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.